Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The Koyukuk River village of Alakaket is dealing with high water. A flood warning's in effect for the village as warm weather rapidly melts heavy snow from surrounding mountains.
The Central Brooks Range had a much higher than average snowpack this winter.
National Weather Service meteorologist Jim Brader says it's all now turning to water, raising the level of the Koyukuk River at Alakaket.
We expect high water there through the weekend with the crest at Alakaket to occur sometime early Saturday. Alakaket has reported minor flooding of the old runway and First Avenue, which is near the river. But we do expect the river to go up another 2 feet from what we had reported yesterday, so there will be more flooding.
The water levels are coming up pretty fast.
Alakaket City Administrator Steven Strasberg says village residents have pulled together to respond to the high water.
There are a few trucks that are in the community. They are driving around with a trailer hauling people's snow machines and ATVs and anything people got of value outside their house. They're moving it on top of the hill to higher ground.
Strasberg says Alakaket has experienced dealing with high water, noting the community suffered a devastating flood in 1994, after which a new subdivision was built on higher ground above town. High water and potential flooding are also anticipated downstream at the villages of Hughes and Huslia, where river levels are expected to crest this weekend and next week, respectively. The Fairbanks North Star Borough School District Board has adopted a budget for the next school year. According to the district, the over $247 million spending plan reflects additions that will push expenditures $4.7 million over the current year. While enrollment is projected to decline slightly and the district is budgeting for 20 fewer teachers, that's more than balanced out by the addition of new positions, including prevention and intervention specialists, as well as new labor contracts, which will cost an additional $5.8 million. There's also an additional $4 million contribution to state retirement programs. The revenue side reflects level state and borough funding and a $10 million draw on district savings. That's projected to leave about $2.5 million in the district savings account a year from now. School board member Allison Lambert raised concern about the drawdown, calling the budget unsustainable.
Looking ahead, I don't see how we can possibly maintain what we have without deep, deep cuts going into the 2021 year.
Lambert was the only no vote on the budget, but emphasized her concerns are financial, not about what the money is being spent on. Superintendent Karen Gaborik admitted that the budget reflects recent years in which anticipated deep funding cuts have not materialized.
At some point, it could all fall apart. It could. And we may have to react fairly suddenly to that.
The Alaska legislature forward-funded schools last year to provide districts some budget certainty, but Governor Dunleavy has challenged the action, saying legislators must fund education year by year and include money for the upcoming year in the state budget currently being finalized. The Fairbanks North Star Borough School District is being pressed to address racism. During public comment at Tuesday's board meeting, diversity trainer Mae Marsh recounted her experience working with a group of Tananaw Middle School students this spring to address racial intolerance and bullying at the school.
These courageous students of all skin tones sat before their peers and told their very personal stories of how they have been impacted by racism. Stories of continually being called the N-word, of being called a coon, of being asked if they swam across the border, of stares and hurtful comments when they spoke their native language, and of an environment so pervasive with racial harassment that there was fear of life, which resulted in staying out of school.
Marsh credited the students' courage and Tananaw School administrators' leadership with resetting the school's climate, but emphasized that a broader district-wide effort is needed to prevent similar problems.
And so I'm here tonight to ask you to be their ally in eliminating racial harassment.
May suggested numerous initiatives, including focus groups and a district-wide student survey, as well as enforcement of a zero-tolerance policy. Superintendent Karen Gaborik thanked Marsh for stepping in to help.
It's so powerful, like with Ms. Marsh, to have a facilitator, whether it's local or, you know, from a nationally recognized entity to come in and work with staffs and kids and to talk about these issues. And it's, anyway, so it's just a priority I think we need to keep in mind.
Local NAACP President Benny Colbert offered a simple solution.
We need to start getting African-American and Indigenous study required in the classrooms so that these students can learn what the history is.
On a related issue, numerous people at Tuesday's school board meeting spoke in support of Alaska Native students being able to openly wear traditional tribal regalia at graduation ceremonies. Kathleen Meckel likened restrictions on the regalia to destructive practices of the past.
Arguments around uniformity, formality, and dignity describe back to the federal government's assimilationist policies, most notably which were exercised in Indian boarding schools. The school district revived these assimilationist values in graduation attire policies.
West Valley High parent Adrian Titus recounted how her son and other Alaska Native graduates were told they could not openly wear traditional regalia outside of their robes at last week's graduation ceremony.
We know that there's a policy in place for students to wear their regalia underneath their gowns, but that policy isn't good enough. It doesn't meet the needs for these students to be able to fully identify with who they are.
School board member Allison Lambert noted that district regulations were specifically adjusted 2 years ago to allow Native regalia to be worn at graduations, and she attributed problems to remaining confusion about the rules at individual schools. The U.S. Missile Defense Agency plans to expand restricted airspace around Clear Air Force Station. The agency is building a long-range discrimination radar at the Air Force Station near Anderson to better detect incoming missiles for ground-based interceptor systems at Fort Greely and other installations outside. An agency news release says the special use airspace around Clear Air Force Station needs to be expanded to, quote, protect nearby aircraft. The Missile Defense Agency has scheduled 3 public meetings as part of preparation of an environmental impact statement. The meetings are scheduled for Tuesday, June 4th in Anchorage, Wednesday the 5th in Anderson, and Thursday the 6th in Fairbanks. The public comment period for the airspace EIS ends June 17th. I'm Dan Bross.